you know, we're not wealthy going as we're farmers, so we knew we couldn't afford to make any huge mistakes. We had one shot.
You know, the team here really wants people to take the time to enjoy life, which is really what, you know, wine is about to start with.
That's a lot of love, a lot of care. Somebody planted that vineyard in the right spot, took care of those grapes the right way, and nurtured that wine through the cellar and did everything right, and there it is for you.
I don't begrudge anyone that wants to be here and be a part of it, but growth needs to be managed and things need to balance.
We say, so drink the wine. That's kind of our motto here at Life Between the Vines. One of the cool things about wine, besides drinking it, is the people you drink it with. And the stories you hear and tell with wine all come together to make every bottle unique. Discovering and tasting wine shouldn't be a homework assignment. And we believe that the people who are closest to wine have the best stories. So open a bottle.
And welcome to podcast number 333. This week we feature Jean Hoflicker of AXR Winery, Napa Valley.
This podcast is sponsored by Release Winery. Every wine tells a story. Each growing season, it's our goal to create an artisan Napa Valley wine of exceptional quality. Join us as the story of this ultra-limited wine continues. Learn more at releasewinery.com.
We've interviewed winemaker Jean Hoflicker many times over the last 11 years of this podcast. But for this program, we go back to just over a year ago to an interview that never aired. This was just after the Napa Sonoma fires, and things were still in recovery mode. We spoke with Jean at the very cool Victorian AXR tasting room in St. Helena. This is a must-see space with great personality, fantastic wine, and even some spirits floating around. You can also hear Jean on our Vino Lingo segment defining the term barrel fermentation. The great thing about coming out to Napa Valley is always catching up with friends, but especially old friends. Jean Hoflicker has been a friend of ours for an awfully long time. He's a winemaker at Elf's Place.
Wow, he's drunk. Cheers to you, my old friend. Have another sip.
Cheers. Have another drink.
Most of all, because we've just known him for a long time, and he's a great guy, and he's a character and fun to interview. And we got a lot to talk about because we're here to talk about AXR, which is, I guess it's not a new project anymore for you.
Well, no, we have started AXR a few years ago, making the wine elsewhere, actually at Alpha Omega in the cellar over there, because it's easier to control the product when you have such a great team in such a great location. But new because they decided to purchase a winery and an estate on Highway 29.
So how did this project come about? I mean, you're well known. You make a great wine at Alpha Omega, and obviously your reputation grows from there.
Well, yeah. Thank you. I think the project started because of a few people, Kelly, Don, and Mark, that wanted a second career and a passion, and so they thought that to start a wine brand, is definitely a good way to spend the rest of your life. That was their initial thought. What really changed is the fact that they now realize it actually takes a lot of work. Yeah. It's not only, making the wine is the almost easy part, positioning it and selling it is the hard part. And so they're in the middle of all that. Thank God I'm only making wine.
So, yeah, you got the easy job.
As I usually do, you surround yourself with good people, with great vineyards, and there you go. Nothing else to do.
I don't know why people say you're dumb.
You knew that was coming.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are going to say, come on, winemaking's, that's a challenge because you've got so many challenges. You've got, the fires last year, you have Mother Nature in general. You have a lot of stuff going on that's a challenge.
No, the challenge for me is only proportional to the importance you give to things and how you give the importance. Winemaking is, and wine in general, is not saving lives. And I wake up in the morning and it turns me on. It turns me on because I found a way to express myself in wine. But when you are in a valley and in a region like Napa, which is not only extremely consistent in its growing season but has the diversity of soil and terroir that it does, it's really not rocket science if you understand to let your emotion express themselves. It's one thing to think that wine is a science. It's not. There's a part of it that is scientific. There's a part of it, the chemistry part, that is number-based. But ultimately, wine is based on taste and nothing else. And my job is to create an emotion. The people's job is to taste it, like it or not. That's taste. But I don't save lives. And yes, 2017 was an extremely difficult year because of human tragedy more than anything else. But at the end of the day, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I think that in this valley, the fire's got to put everybody back on a playing level, independently of wealth, religion, background, race, whatever it is. And for me, I think it made that valley grow stronger at a much different level.
Let's go back to making wine. You make wine all over the world now. You're really an amazing. I'm not sure how you do this. I mean, I know you've got this feeling that it's simple, but you're making it for different places, different people in different situations. That alone has to be a major challenge because they're not the same.
No, they're not. But honestly, a brand and a new wine, a new site and a new label takes time to find its own personality. The winemaker just needs to be attentive and open enough to listen to what the terroir, which is the interaction of the plant, the soil, the climate, and the people, is giving to him. And based on that, every single time that equation happens, it takes a while for the person, the winemaker in this case, me, to really understand the true DNA. And it's not done overnight. It sometimes takes years, but you always end up understanding how the equation of these different factors combine and hit the sweet spot. And you can take the same exact two rows of vineyard if they are for different people. For a different brand, they're going to take a different approach. They're going to scream for different treatment, for different angles. And I think it just relates to the fact that wine is highly diverse, and therefore you have to serve that. The globalization happened everywhere in the world, in the economy, in the culture, and a lot of different things. But the beauty of wine is seriously its diversity. And I think the last thing I would ever want to do is try to erase these differences, because you want to drink different wines. You want to taste different wines. You want life to reinvent itself on a daily basis. And I think that's exactly what wine brings to me, even though it is sometimes for different things, for different clients, for different varietals, for different locations. We just, Alfa Omega just acquired a property in Spain, in Priorat, in Perinat, and same thing. It is an amazing place that is dictated by a soil full of slate, but that is not the only part of the equation. The culture that it represents, the location in Spain, the climate, the influence of the sea, the people and the tradition, all that is a part of the equation. And at AXR, for example, I think that the DNA of the brand, where we're sitting right now, is really a crossing between the past and the future. And I think the name, even the name of the brand itself, AXR, is a rootstock. And it's a rootstock that was declared as phylloxera resistant during the phylloxera crisis, which ended up not being phylloxera resistant. So a lot of growers that use it, replant on it, are extremely mad at it for not delivering the promises that it was supposed to. But it's also, I think, most importantly, the first time that the wine industry realized the true importance of rootstock and how it is important to adapt your rootstock to the location where you are and what you want to grow. And I think that's definitely a crossing of the wine industry, and that's why the AXR name for us here works extremely well, is because it truly represents that. And we're seeing now more and more people that are replanting on AXR where they can be away from the threat of phylloxera, either on sandy soils or away from, you know, from traffic and contamination risks. And I think that states a lot about the rootstock itself. It is actually a very high quality rootstock. We make here a Chardonnay from Ritchie Vineyard in Sonoma. It's on AXR rootstock because it's a sandy soil. And so that brand really represents, from its design to the people that own it, a really good interaction. And I think that's the DNA. The DNA of this particular brand is that crossing, that meeting of the past and the future. That means what when you translate it to wine? It means that we have modern equipment. We have technology. We now have scientific knowledge, but we will still make wine in a traditional way, with all the tools that are and that exist today for modern winemaking, but in a fairly traditional way. And I think that's really the DNA of that brand.
Is it fair to say that you still spend the majority, and I mean when I say majority, the bigger part of your time in the vineyard?
I tend to spend quite a bit of time in the vineyard indeed, because that's where wine is made to start with. And when we see what happened to 2017 with the fires, you know, we understand even more the importance of the vineyard, not only for the wine, but for fire breaks in the case of the fire. I think that we will have to rethink a little bit the plantation rights in the Napa Valley for that reason, because I think the fire will come back. And obviously vineyards were a great help to fight that fire during that difficult time. But yes, the vineyard is the soul of the wine. And without a soul, you really have no interest. And I think that that's where the attention has to be paid, is first understanding. And when I was describing the DNA and finding the DNA of a new brand, it's the same with the vineyard. Finding the DNA of a vineyard is going to dictate where your brand goes. And that doesn't happen. Yes, I can visit a new vineyard and say, oh, it looks promising because of the exposure, you know, the soil analysis, you know, and the clone and the rootstock and so on. It's a whole different ballgame to make the wine 3 or 4 or 5 years in a row and understand how the plants interact, not only with the vintage itself, but with yourself.
And that's, to me, one of the most fascinating things. So we're kind of getting into the elephant in the room here, and that would be the fire. But before we actually talk about the fire, what do you think about your 2017 vintage?
I think it's the greatest vintage since 2002.
Really?
It's one of the vintage that turned me on the most, and for many different reasons. Because I think in French we say, without struggle, there's no glory. We had struggles, and we had plenty of it. We had flooding at the beginning of this season. We had heat spells, and we had, of course, the fires. Despite all of that, we are showing wines that are extremely dense and balanced. Most of the literature says when you have fire and smoke taint problems, you should decrease the extraction, shorten your time on skin. I've decided to do the polar opposite. I actually increased by 60% the extraction up front, because I said instead of making wines that are weak and will have to be reverse osmosis or whatever solution or matter you want to take in your own hands, I'd rather have a big wine and a dense wine and a good wine than not. So I actually pushed extraction up front by a lot and was able to really reach levels of complexity and balance that I have not seen for a long time.
Are we talking primarily grapes that were picked before the fire?
We're both on both sides and on the after the fire for sure. Yeah, that it was key for me because the literature says that you know it's extracted, or the guaiacol and methyl guaiacol are extracted fairly fast or shorten your time on skin, for example. It doesn't mean anything because it's now known that it's 2 or 3 days only. So who's going to make a red in less than 2 or 3 days? Nobody. Yeah. So might as well put something in place that has the structure to either swallow these stains or at least to support them better.
So you're confident so far in what you've been tasting?
I see that on the average of everything that I've tasted that I make, 10% will have taint, which is a blessing in disguise, but it came through a long, long struggle. It's a good segue to explain what happened, because I think people will realize how it was. I was sleeping in Napa Valley on the night of the 8th. I was woken up at 12 by my girlfriend to say, you got to look at the news, something a little bit bigger than what we thought is happening. And I saw the extent of the fire. And of course, outside was already snowing ashes. And I said, I have to do something. Anticipation is a key to a successful business. And so I decided to wake up, take my car, and drive up Valley. And went to the winery, went to Alpha Omega, and told the crew to put everything in lockdown. We lost power at the time. And to go home. I stayed at the winery alone, not only looking at the fires, but mainly thinking and asking myself, what can I do? And I said, we need to get in whatever is left to get in. And people think it's very little. It's not. It was 250 tons. Wow. So I started organizing that in the middle of the night through text, through people that were obviously not exactly sleeping. And my vineyard crew came in and said, you know, we would like to pick. And then I had to ethically ask them, despite the conditions. And they said, yeah, absolutely. We don't put all our efforts into growing these grapes to let it all go when it really matters. So I said, okay. And so they ended up picking 26 hours in a row. Nonstop. I was at the time just pretty much traveling to Target, loading cars with sodas, waters, snacks, sandwiches, and just feeding them. And the commitment to these guys to not only quality, but just grapes themselves, is for me an absolutely amazing testament to the Valley and to these people. It's a business based on people. Later, when we started processing all that fruit, you can imagine that when you suddenly have 250 tons in 2 days, so yeah, it was picked very beginning of the fire, so chances of smoke taint are almost non-existent. That's the great part. But when they arrive at the winery, you have a different problem, logistical, is where to put all these grapes. Mm. And at the time, as you know, I'm pretty big in barrel fermentation, and the tanks are full. So what do? Well, I have the barrel fermentation issue, solution. So I decided to pop a lot of head, and we have an employee parking lot that ended up being filled completely outside, inside, everywhere. We had barrels everywhere. Wow. But the grapes were safe because these barrels are sealed, and we had no problem. And after 2 or 3 days of the fire, I will always remember the assistant winemaker came in, and both Esaul and Bastien came in, and they looked at me after X amount of days at 18 hours a day and said, almost teary, had tears in their eyes, says, please tell us that we're not doing all this for nothing. And when I looked at them after my morning tasting, they were asking me, and I says, no, it looks absolutely great. And the quality is out of this world. They said, okay, put a smile on their face, went back to work. And I think that really represents both sides of the equation on the human side, the vineyard side and the winery side, of the care of people. So sure, I mean, the role of being in front of your camera, in front of your mic is mine. And you know, the glorious winemaker and the starification of the winemaker. But the real heroes, the real stars of 2017 are these people. You know, sure, we work hard, didn't that work out too, but it's them. And without people like that, it's a whole different ballgame. And that's also why I think that I fell in love with the 2017 vintage, because it represents quality, pure dedication, and human heart.
That says something. And to your point, I don't believe vineyard crews get the credit they deserve in the eye of the public. But then again, I don't know if they actually look for that.
They don't most of the times. But again, they're the soul of the wine. And I think that's really what needs to be understood. And in an event like we did have in 2017, it just shows the length, the depth of the global equation of wine. It's never about one person. Yeah. It's about a team.
Well, not to beat this subject into the ground, but one last point. I remember one of your posts on Facebook was when the ridge across the street from Alpha Omega was on fire. I don't care who you are. That's scary as hell for a lot of reasons. Your life, your business, your people, everything. That's a lot of stuff to take in.
Yeah, it was tough, but I think we all find a role in such events. My role was to be the steady rock and not show my emotions and keep a smile in my humor to make sure that people that needed to go home to attend their family and help their family would, and make sure that the wine was made the right way. It did not go completely smoothless for me either, because I remember probably six days or something like that after the beginning of the fire, tasted the all the lots that it does, as I usually do in the morning, and I tasted a few tainted lots. And I called my parents, because to media, you follow only the drama, not always the reality, and to reassure them that everything was fine. And by talking to them, at one point, I just lost it, completely lost it, and started saying, "And these damn lots smell like smoke." And I remember, because my mom reminded me this a few weeks ago, says, "Yeah, and you finished your 5 minutes conversation by saying, and I don't even have clean underwears." And then I said, "Okay, I got to go, goodbye." And hung up the phone, put a big smile back on my face, and went back outside. And that's how it was. And that's the beauty of this event. I don't think people will ever be the same. And I don't think that people will ever care less than they did prior to 2017.
I think a lot of that was transmitted to people, especially people who care about this area, to be able to watch that, to see how much passion there was to make sure this area was safe.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because that's one thing that was key. One morning I came right in the middle of bringing all these 200 some tons, and the night shift, the winery was a mess. And you keep a pretty tight ship. You have to, for precision, for quality reasons. And I arrived after a few hours of sleep, and it was a mess. And I saw the face of the crew, and I knew right away, I just cannot say one thing. Mm-hmm. But to go get breakfast for them, serve them breakfast in the kitchen, and say, "This is awesome, guys. Thank you so much for your help." This is exactly what I did. They were completely broken. So, yeah, a good lesson in life for sure.
I'd say so. And for my own example, going back to 2009 when I worked at your Delph Omega, you did run a very tight ship. It was impressive for somebody who'd never done any of this before to see how the rooms were organized, how everything was laid out. And then even in the middle of that, you said, "Well, we're going to go ahead and turn this room into a hot room." That kind of blew my mind, because I'm thinking, wow, that's really changing the middle of your game plan. That was a lot of work to do that.
Well, yeah, because wine is that. Wine is never a recipe, and it is never 100% known. And so you have to be able to catch the curveballs, to come back in terms of sports that you know very well, is you adapt. You adapt to the product, to the vintage, to the circumstances. The fire, there's no electricity, and of course, we were fairly early on ordering a generator to come back up to us to help us. And of course, on a side note, we literally plug the generator, electricity comes in, 7 minutes later, PG&E restores power, and we have power, at the winery. So that's kind of a wink-wink to faith, I guess. But overall, if you want, in such an interesting equation, you're out of power. What do you do? Well, you got to go back to traditional winemaking. Mm-hmm. The punch downs with your hands, the taste solely with your mouth, which is what I do anyways, because I think it's based on that. But the entire equation was like that. And I think that, it was a really good reminder that despite technology, you could lose all of it. You have to be able to take care of yourself without all of it. And I think that's also a very good lesson to learn.
Yeah, the idea of being responsible for that much wine. That's kind of crazy. So what does the future look like? What's ahead of you?
I would hope progress, bettering quality of wine, discovering new technologies that could be part of the equation, and fighting even more for what I believe is the true role of wine in this world, which is to bring people back. We're really at a difficult time in society, independently of any political conversation. We're a difficult time in society because we're not right now sitting, conversing, debating, interacting with one another anymore. And wine is that. And so I have two kids, a 10 and a 13-year-old, Arthur and Alexandre, and my greatest pleasure in the day today is to sit at dinner at night and to have every night, despite activities, homework, and whatever you know life throws at you, a meal where we sit down and we talk and exchange. That's why I fell in love with wine. That's why I can wake up every day and be happy about I am to do. And I think that's really, for me, the soul of the position of a bottle of wine today in society.
Nice. Tell me what you're making, what kind of wines you're making for AXR.
For AXR, we're making a Sauvignon Blanc, a Chardonnay, and a few different reds, single vineyard and the flagship. We're making small volumes, hopefully at a high quality level if I can do my job, from very specific sites that have a true DNA to themselves. And I think that's really something that is key. We also make for the V Madrone, label and brand, some Zinfandel and some Petit Sirah, including one Zinfandel from Collins Vineyard right up the road from here. That is 123-year-old vines. When you walk in that vineyard, you actually feel the history. And I feel fairly small, despite my 6'6", 260 pounds, in the middle of all this history and all this amazing, these amazing grapes. And I think AXR is also about finding the right spot that tells the story about vineyard, wine culture within California.
That's like ghosts in the vineyard.
If you want to talk about ghosts, talk about this property in this house, which was actually disclosed in the sales document I heard, that it is haunted.
Until you've told me that.
Yeah.
It's weird to hear you even bring it up.
Oh, I bring it up because it all belongs to different beliefs. But if you hear the tasting room team or, the admin team or people that are here on a day-to-day basis, they leave all doors open at night. They come back, every door is closed, for example. Or somebody is alone early in the morning, sit at their desk, and they can hear people talking downstairs. And, of course, they go and there's nobody downstairs. Is it in their imagination or not? It's not to me to prove it, but it's to one another to believe or not in it.
And it makes it that much more intriguing to come here and visit.
But I think it also makes it historical because ghosts are the past. And this building has been built in 1870. And I think it's just a testament to the history behind it.
Well, that's the other thing about visiting this house. It's unique, completely unique. There aren't many, many houses around it that I've seen like this. So it is worth a visit. And speaking of which, I'm assuming you're by appointment here. Is that right?
That is correct. By appointment only from 10 to 6. Yeah, you'll enjoy. I think it's a different pace of life. And the team here really wants people to take the time to enjoy life, which is really what, wine is about to start with.
I agree. And the website would be?
www.axrwines.com.
We will consult the bottle to be sure that we're correct.
www.axrwinery.com.
There we go. That makes a difference. Although you type in AXR, it's probably going to come up.
Absolutely.
John, it's always great seeing you. Thanks for taking the time. And, don't get too spooked.
I won't. But thanks a lot for being a good friend.
Learn more by visiting axrnapavalley.com.
for listening, and remember to like us on Facebook. Also, check out our YouTube channel.
Life Between the Vines is produced at Fifth Floor Recording Company in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Produced and edited by Ray Pfister. Theme song and original music written and recorded by Tim Dondarevo. Additional original music by Ray Pfister. Our host is Kay Paskoff. Our graphics and website specialist is Lawton Hall. Our web geek is Dan Gieschen. Photos by Jeanette Herniak and Catherine Shearer. Copyright 2019.